Discretion must be served. Two by two, the former prey, Harris's former crew members, left for the mainland hospital, where, Harris was assured, Bunny's excellent medical staff would check them out, and where they would live in privacy and luxury until they decided what they wanted to do. She had spoken to each one, but they were too dazed to talk much. She understood. She felt that way herself. Too many emotions, too much turmoil. Finally, with the lodge empty, it was her turn. She and Cecilia and Petrus had a luxurious flitter, with Michaels himself at the controls for the flight back. No more clouds. The wrinkled ocean lay blank and blue under a clear sky until they reached the mainland. Harris stared at it until she felt the pattern was imprinted forever on her retinas. She wondered why Petrus was traveling with them, then wondered why she wondered. And why couldn't they talk? After that first night, she had not expected the awkwardness of the days and nights since, when they could cling together, but not a complete sentence. The flitter delivered them to the wide courtyard before the main house rather than the flitter hangars. Here it was cold, with low clouds racing across the sky before a sharp wind. Harris sealed the jacket she had not needed on the island and shivered. She was glad she wouldn't have to walk up the hill from the other end of the village. Inside, Petrus looked up the grand staircase that first time with an odd expression that mingled delight and apprehension.
This is exactly how I thought a great lord's house would look, and I don't trust it. It's too perfectly what it is, like an entertainment cube version of a fleet cruiser.
It's intimidating. I couldn't believe anyone actually lived in it, but they do.
Harris wondered where the servants were. Usually, two or three at least were in the hall at this hour. But the one who had opened the door had vanished, leaving it to Cecilia to lead the way upstairs. Petrus had the room next to hers, where she remembered someone else having been, but she did not raise her brows to Cecilia, who already looked entirely too smug. How had Cecilia known that?
Don't forget that Petrus will need to check in with Neil. I'll let him know you're coming, shall I?
Harris looked at Petrus. He had not had the benefit of Cecilia's riding simulator, but he grinned.
I can hardly wait to see Harris on horseback, chasing a fox. Although I'm not looking forward to those early starts.
Nonetheless, and of course, I don't have to warn either of you about discussing all this.
Not at all.
Petrus raised and lowered his brows at her, a clear dismissal.
Dinner at 8.
Cecilia strode off down the corridor.
Your employer...
Our employer. Unless you change your mind.
I never change my mind. Come in here.
He led her into his room, a twin of her own.
I don't believe this either.
He was staring at the furniture, the gleaming expanse of the bathroom and its glittering toys. He walked around the room, opening and closing the doors of wardrobes, looking into drawers in tall, polished chests. Harris could see the racks of clothes and wondered.
I'm sure these all fit. Lady Cecilia would have seen to it. I always knew there was a good reason to leave the onion farm.
He looked into the bathroom again.
Oh, plenty of room, warm towels. Shall I scrub your back, my love, or will you scrub mine?
Ronnie was sure they were all making too much fuss about his condition. George had been shot. George might die. He still had that nagging headache and a collection of bruises and scrapes, but after a night in the hospital, he was ready to go back to hunting. Or at least, back to living in the far more comfortable quarters he had enjoyed before.
Time enough. You're not leaving until the doctor agrees, and your scans aren't normal yet.
It wasn't the same nurse as before, he thought, and wondered how often their shifts changed.
Nothing's broken. You let that fellow in the other bed leave just 24 hours after a broken leg.
Bones aren't brains.
Ronnie closed his eyes, feigning sleep, and was surprised to find dark outside his windows when he opened them again. The next morning, which morning, he woke without a trace of the headache and the awareness that he had not been clear-headed before.
You're not all there yet. Well, you think you are, but it's like climbing out of a hole. It's lighter where you are, but you're still in shadow. I know this will disappoint you, but I've already notified Lord Thornbuckle's head groom. You are not to ride for at least 10 days. and you'll have to be re-evaluated then.
But I didn't...
The doctor smiled and patted his knee as if he were a child. Considering her white hair and wrinkles, she probably thought of him that way.
What about George?
They had told him nothing so far except soothing murmurs. He braced himself to hear that George had died.
Do I understand that everyone calls him the odious George?
Yes.
I can see why. He can have visitors. In fact, he has visitors all day now. So if you want to know, just take the lift up one, and it's the third door on the left. He's still on the surgical floor, though really, he shouldn't be.
She shook her head without finishing that and left. Ronnie pulled on his clothes, hardly wondering where they'd come from, and went to see George. George lay propped up in bed, looking like an advertisement for a hospital company. Dark hair perfectly in place, fading bruises on his face suggesting courage without diminishing his good looks. Ronnie knew that on anyone else, the yellow and green and dull purple would have looked hideous, but George's luck seemed to hold.
Ronnie, I wondered when you'd make it up here. You missed all the excitement.
Ronnie stared at him.
Missed all the excitement? Hasn't anyone told George about the Admiral and the gas grenade or the Prince or...
My father's on the way.
George looked exactly as he had always looked, smug, odious. Ronnie wanted to hit him, but you couldn't hit someone in bed with a gunshot wound. He went in, nonetheless, holding a vague grudge, but not sure how to let it go. Should he tell George about the Prince? He thought he remembered it was supposed to be a secret. George's face changed.
I was really scared. You passed out on me. Then they caught me, and those two...
Who?
The guards back on Bandon. I never saw the hunters at all, just these two men.
They're the ones who shot you?
Oh, no. One of Bunny's militia shot me. And it wasn't an accident, either. I tried to tell Captain Serrano, but he couldn't get it across. He was standing there, eyeing your aunt as if he'd like to kill her right then.
Did you tell Bunny when you got back here?
Ronnie had an urge to leap up himself right then and go find his aunt.
It's all right. That's part of what you missed. That's the same man who tried to kill your aunt and Captain Serrano when they went to find you in the cave.
Oh.
Ronnie tried to remember if he'd heard about that man before. He remembered some things vividly. Finding George unconscious, trying to build a litter, the storm, Rafa's warmth against him in the cold, dark cave, that moment of sheer terror when he jumped for the gas grenade. But he had no clear mental map of the time, how long they'd been on the island, or whether they'd stayed on Bandon overnight or flown straight back.
Your aunt plugged him. He had the captain covered.
She would.
Ronnie hated not remembering. It was like being very old, he thought. He had probably said things and done things without really knowing it. What if he had said something stupid? What if he had said something stupid to Rafa? Was that why he couldn't remember seeing her in the hospital?
It's not that easy, being a hero. At least, it wasn't for me. You...
Not for me either. There's a lot I can't remember.
There's a lot I wish I couldn't remember. I have never been so scared, so humiliated in my life. Not even that first term at school. At least you didn't have to scrub any toilets.
Not that again.
Ronnie turned to look. She might never have been off the mainland. She looked like all the other polished young women who had come for the hunting party, and she looked like no one else in the universe. Bubbles, beside her, leaned against the door and grinned broadly.
Now I can quit holding Rafa's hand every night. You had us all scared, Ronnie.
Me? George is the one who got shot.
All George needed was a good surgeon, a day in the regen tank, and a personality transplant. My father could supply the first two, but not the last.
You'll regret that, Bubbles. My reputation depends on being odious and wrinkle-free.
Your reputation depends on your father, or someone would have beaten the odiousness out of you long ago.
Unfair. Well, partly unfair. And I do resent the damage to my good trousers.
I assure you that you'll be wrinkle-free and out of here in time for the hunt ball, if you promise to keep your mouth shut and cause no trouble about Mr. Smith.
George made an innocent face that would not have fooled anyone. It certainly did not fool Ronnie or the girls.
If you don't promise and keep that promise, I'll make sure that someone slips the wrong stuff in the regen tank for your next treatment, and you'll have wrinkles in places you don't think wrinkles can form. Permanent wrinkles. Then you can stay in this room until you die of genuine old age.
Rafa came over to take Ronnie's hand.
And I will personally ruin every garment you own and send your tailor a certified letter giving your new measurements. Interesting new measurements.
Rafa mimed the anguish of someone in trousers with a short rise, the problems of skimpy sleeves and a baggy short jacket. George rolled his eyes dramatically.
You might have trusted me. Lawyers' sons learn some discretion. All right, I promise. No leading questions, no suggestive remarks, nothing about Mr. Smith or his other identity. But how am I supposed to explain my disappearance from the noble sport of fox hunting?
We took the flitter to go picnicking and we crashed. And you and Ronnie were hurt saving us. Very simple, very...
What about Lady Cecilia and Captain Serrano?
Unrelated, except that Lady Cecilia is the one who let Bunny know we were missing, just as it happened. We're hoping to get past the hunt ball without the whole story coming out.
Neil had pronounced Petrus's seat untidy but effective, and passed him into the blue hunt at once. Harris had little interest in riding to hounds anymore, but also little choice. If she stayed home, it would be noticed, and tongues were already wagging. Cecilia, pleading age, could go out only twice a week. Harris had to ride 5 days out of seven. She knew Cecilia was up to something again, or still, because the Crown Minister stayed in the same days as Cecilia.
I might just as well go back to the ship.
That afternoon, her horse had stumbled on landing from a wall, fallen heavily, and come up lame. Harris herself had bruised her shoulder. The fox, if there was a fox, had got clean away. She wanted to be back on a decent ship, where large, heavy animals didn't dump her off and then roll on her. Her leg wasn't broken, but it felt reshaped.